Good morning. Good to see you here today. Thanks for being with us at Trinity. We've been studying 10 values for living based upon the 10 commandments found in Exodus 20. Do you have them memorized yet? It's all right. We'll go over them, okay? Let's look down through the list because I think it's important, not enough to memorize them. I'd rather us just incorporate the principles in our life, whether we have put them in memory or not. It's important that we work these values for living, adopt these values, and allow them to impact our lifestyle. That's what's important. Value number one is put God first. Value two is idolize nothing and worship God only. Value three is take God seriously. Value four is reserve a day for you and God. Value five is honor your parents. Value six is respect life. And I think if you've been with us for all or at least the majority of these sessions that we've had, you'll find that at first glance, sometimes we might pass over that commandment and say, well, that doesn't really apply, you know, honor parents and things like that. I've been out of the house for a long time and things like that. But we have found that really every one of these, I mean, it's the Big Ten. Every one of these applies to each one of us in some way. That's why they're in the Bible. So it's a blessing for us to look and maybe at first glance say, now I know that this is going to apply. Let's just see how it's going to apply in my life. Today's value is found in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14, which says, you must not commit adultery. Our seventh value is maintain sexual integrity. Now, I'm not going to say something that would be a problem for children to hear, okay? I just let you know right up front. The only problem might be the questions you have to answer this afternoon. We do have children's ministry going on right now across the street over in the Ed Center. We have ushers in the back that would be glad to help you if you say, I don't know if I want my kids sitting in here, but I want to tell you, this is an important subject that we need to deal with today, especially in the culture in which we live. Our seventh value, maintain sexual integrity. An elderly couple whose eyesight and hearing had faded over the years, was sitting on the front porch in a rocking chair, and one evening they were just kind of talking, and they had been married for almost 50 years. The man looked at his wife and said, after 50 years together, I've found you tried and true. And she, not quite hearing what he said, she replied, I'm tired of you too. There's way too much I'm tired of you and not enough tried and true in homes today, whether it's been 50 years or not. In 1631, an edition of the King James Version of the Bible came to be known as the Wicked or the Sinner's Bible. Apparently, the word not was accidentally left out of this verse and left this verse reading, thou shalt commit adultery. That was 385 years ago, and people today are still following the command from that edition regularly. There's so much that I could say on this subject that is relevant to the culture today, and nobody would complain today probably about how long the sermon was because the subject has something to do with sex. I would have your undivided attention. But really, the subject is not just about sex. It's about faithfulness and integrity. So it's for everybody. Let me give you some general observations about this value. And I want to encourage you to, as I said a couple of weeks ago, get in the Bible, become confident in what you believe based upon Scripture, Let it influence your lifestyle, and then you go out and influence the culture with the truth of God's word. And so let's kind of dive in here and see what is a pretty simple command to read and not so simple to follow for many in the culture today. Here's the steps, general observations on this value for living. Number one, realize the Bible is relevant. So when it comes to God's standard for moral purity, God's laws are not meant to be revised based upon political correctness or people's preference. And by the way, that statement can apply to any of the values that we're discussing. The Bible says in 1 John 5:3, loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. If these values for living are only external, a list of requirements to look holy, then they will become nothing more than unwelcome rules to break or uncomfortable restraints that keep us bound. But if his law is internalized and fulfilled in us, it brings us liberty and release. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, it says this, follow along. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free. It sets you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Did you catch possibly that natural tension that goes on in life for us? The spiritual and the physical. Now, we are complex beings. We're made up emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally, all of these things. But I want to tell you, there is a general position that we can approach life from, and it can be spiritual or it can be earthly. Or worldly. We are to be in the world. I mean, we're in the world. We're just not to be part of that world system buying into the lies that Satan has set us up to buy into. And so there is this tension, and it filters down in every area of our life, especially when we're talking about today, if we're not careful. The Great Wall of China is officially just over 13,170 miles. Did you go to the Great Wall of China? Tiffany just got back from China, serving over there. I'm anxious to hear about her trip. I walked not the full length of it, but I walked a little bit of the wall one time when I was over there. It's an amazing thing to see. It was built to keep the enemy out. Very simple plan. But one notable time in 1644, it was breached. At that time in history, I read that the wall was probably somewhere around 5,000 miles at that time, not the 13,000 as it is today. But you know, the enemy, we're told, they didn't focus on the 5,000 miles. They only focused on 6 feet. All they did was bribe one 6-foot-tall gatekeeper to open the gate. That's what they did. And I want to tell you, there was enemy inside that opened the door for the enemy outside. That's the way it is in our life today. If we're not careful, God's standards will be nothing more than this wall of rules, and just knowing God's values aren't enough. They better go to our core. We have to be faithful gatekeepers, the inside, that have integrity and are not bribed by the enemy outside. Don't push the boundaries. Now, I'll say this to our students especially and to anyone else who needs to hear today. Don't push the boundaries in dating, in marriage. If you have a friend who is pushing boundaries in this area of sexual integrity, man, call them on it. Don't just say that's a personal thing. Man, say, listen, I want to encourage you. Tell them what the Bible says. This commandment is all-encompassing. It says that all sexual involvement outside of marriage, whether premarital or extramarital, is a serious sin against God. But people continue to defy God's word. As immorality of all kinds comes out of the closet and into public spotlight, contending that the Bible is outdated. Listen, God's commandments don't change even if society does. I know. It's not a popular message for today. But we need to share what God's word says and influence our culture and not allow culture to influence Christians. First, that we operate within the culture, but showing it an alternative. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, God's will for you is to be holy, so stay away from all sexual sin. Not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and his ways. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting God. So realize the Bible is relevant, and number two, submit to God's standards. Proverbs 1:19-9 says, how can a young person stay pure? Simply by obeying God's word. That's what it says. Simple plan. God's standard on the subject is clear and consistent. Sex is only for a husband and wife committed to each other in a marriage relationship. And that relationship, by the way, needs to be defined in biblical terms. You can't let culture define marriage or be the standard for your relationships. You say, well, I thought God wanted me to be happy. Well, he does. That's why he gives us boundaries. Trust God. He's the expert on sex because he created it. He created it for physical pleasure between a husband and wife, for emotional and spiritual bonding between a husband and wife, and for procreation. God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. And man, we've been producing kids ever since. Number three. So we realize the Bible's relevant. We submit to God's standards. And then we have to train our thoughts. Sinful behavior begins with sinful thoughts. Pretty simple progression. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says to be careful how you think because your life is shaped, literally shaped by your thoughts. Psalm 101:3 says, I will refuse to look at anything vile or vulgar. Now, most Americans think this is kind of archaic. In fact, media is full of people telling you it's okay to think whatever you think. It's no big deal. But the Bible tells us that what we think about will affect our behavior and our thoughts. And it's not harmless. The battle for any temptation begins and ends in the mind. So ground zero for getting control of any area of your life begins with your thoughts. You can't control what thought might enter your mind. You can't control the fact that you may be attracted to someone. God placed these possibilities, this part of who we are within us for a reason. What you can and must control is what you do with those thoughts and feelings. 2 Timothy 2:2 tells us that what you do is this. It says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. I'll tell you what that does. That verse alone, right there, takes away any of this rationalization that says that's not really pornography. Well, we didn't really have a physical relationship, just emotional. I want to tell you, I don't have to go into great detail, but if there's any question, you look right here. The scripture says, run from anything that stimulates your youthful lusts. Instead, it goes on, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Immorality begins with the mental, then emotional, then physical, and then continues with the rationalization of your actions. So stop it before it starts. Philippians 4:8 says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. I want to tell you, there's no sin in temptation. It's going to be there, right? The sin comes in giving in to it. The world in which we live, I want to tell you, you're going to see things. You're going to hear things that are not honorable or pure, as God's word says to pursue those. The sin doesn't come with that temptation. It comes with giving in. Number four, minimize opportunities for misconduct. Pursue these things, and how do you do this? How do you fix your thoughts? Philippians 4:8. How do you fix your thoughts on what's true, honorable, right, and all these things, worthy of praise, excellent, admirable, lovely? Well, you've got to sometimes get out of the circumstances that would prove counterproductive to pursuing these things in these scriptures. Minimize opportunities for misconduct. How? How do you do that? Well, number one, admit you're vulnerable. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. You know, and I looked at it, and when I was studying for this, and there were other examples I'd read after some other authors and that I don't have time to even get into, but there's examples. One author in particular that said he would never fall in this area, and sure enough, he did. Now he's written a book on what happens when you think you won't fall and you do, and I look at this and almost says it elicits fear in us. Man, we can't do anything. We gotta walk around with blinders on. We gotta do this. I want to tell you that's not the way it is. If you will pursue the positive, it's going to become a lifestyle with you. And although Satan will still try to trip you up, you know what? Practice makes almost perfect. If it becomes a habit to focus on the spiritual and see the physical in the light of the spiritual, it's not going to be like you got to be some timid person around here afraid of what I'm going to see, afraid of what I'm going to hear. No, we're in the world. We just don't have to buy into that system. But we've got to admit we're vulnerable. Secondly, look honestly at your lifestyle and see if any situations may be leaving you open to sexual sin. It may be a business trip, it may be a social setting, a computer, a particular place, or a particular person. Which brings us to the next point. Choose your friends wisely. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company corrupts good character. Hey, we're talking about values for living. If you hang out with people who don't share your values, man, you could find yourself accepting things you never thought you would. And then number four, monitor media. Everyone knows the saying, garbage in, garbage out, right? Thank God for technology, but you can also thank Satan for some of it too. You can't take in a steady dose of some of this stuff without it adversely affecting you. You just cannot. Media is a great source for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John 2:6. Now that verse doesn't actually say the media is the source. It just talks about the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life as the source of all sin. But I'm going to tell you, you can find it in the media. Number five, make a decision to live a life above reproach. I didn't use the word perfect. Simply said, above reproach, which is really quoting Scripture. Our life is a sum total of the decisions that we make. You look back at your life. Some of us have to look back a lot further than others. You look back at your life and you can see this decision that led to this, and this decision that led to that. And they can be good, and they can be bad, or somewhere in between. But we have the option of making these decisions. I mean, sometimes life happens, and we had nothing to do with a particular circumstance. And because of that, the circumstances we do have some control over, we better be making the right decisions. Because there's enough life throws at you anyway. And so, we need to make a decision to live a life above reproach. In other words, draw the lines, especially in this area that we're covering today. Draw the lines according to God's standards now. And determine not to cross those lines under any circumstance. If it was right when God's word was written, it is right now. And so determine under no circumstance, not what the media tells me, not what even my best friend tells me, not what anybody tells me. If it's contrary to God's word, I'm not crossing this line. Don't wait until the temptation hits you to try to determine to do what's right. Determine it early. Ephesians 5:3 says, but sexual immorality and all moral impurity or greed must not even be hinted at among you, as is proper among saints, for as believers, our way of life, whether in public or private, reflects the validity of our faith. You see, when you really start digging into God's word, just you look at this, and sometimes we say, well, you know, what I'm doing's not really hurting anybody. You know, it's fulfilling a need for me. And after all, you know, we fill in the blanks. Well, the scripture says, hey, wait a minute. This moral impurity and sexual immorality, it must not even be hinted at among you. Because what we do in public and private along these lines and others reflects the validity of our faith. Number five. This is so important. Consider the consequences. You ever just say, why did I do that? I mean, it may not be under this subject of sexual integrity, but if you ever just, you just like, man, I didn't think this like this through. I want you to consider the consequences. Proverbs 6:26 says, immorality may cost you your life. Do you remember the story of Isaac's son Esau in the Bible? You remember that? What's one thing that comes to your mind that he's famous for? Do you remember? Remember what it was? Okay, you remember he was going to inherit the family inheritance the way it works down. And in a moment of hunger, he gave up that entire family inheritance by selling it to his brother for a bowl of soup. That's what the Bible says. He was entitled to this entire family inheritance, which was unbelievable at that time, the way it works down. I mean, it was more meaningful than him just saying, I get the bulk of this money because I'm the oldest or whatever. It had so much, so many implications in that day and age. And he literally was hungry one day and sold it for a bowl of soup. That's not considering the consequences. When temptation hits, and it will, stop and count to 10 or 10,000, but stop and think, what will I be giving up by giving in? What will I be giving up by giving in? Consider the consequences. Proverbs 6:32 says, anyone who commits adultery is an utter fool, for he destroys himself. A moment of pleasure can lead to a lifetime of problems. Don't wake up one day and ask, what was I thinking? Because the answer is, you weren't, not clearly. Not with a mind focused on God and His plan for your life. Rationalization will turn into realization very quickly. The pain is raw and the consequence is real. Hebrews 13:4 says, remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. There are consequences for sin. Premarital, extramarital, outside of this subject, there are consequences for sin. But there is, in this area, specifically today, a pathway to purity. You say, man, I feel wonderful after sitting here today. I've got some of this stuff in my past, or I'm struggling with it now. Well, good. I'm glad you're here. We're not talking perfect. We're talking about real and looking for real solutions. And there is a pathway to purity for your life. So here's how I want to close the service today, at least my part of it. I want to give you just a couple of points, and then I'm just going to read you some scripture and let God speak. Pathway back to purity is, number one, repent. Psalm 51, 1 through 10 says, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But your desire for me was honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal and right spirit within me. Number two, receive forgiveness. Psalm 32, 1 through 5 says, Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. And then, refocus and replace. Romans 13, 13 through 14. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Number four, request help daily. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you will not give in to it. Would you stand with me for just a moment? As we've been going through these values for living, we've just kind of taken them in order and said, God, whatever it is that you have in this particular one for me, I want to hear it. In this next one, I want to hear it. And I hope that right now, in the quietness of this hour, before we get on with the daily life grind that we have this next work week, I pray that you would focus spiritually on what God has for you today. It's no mistake that you are here. You may not be struggling in this area in your life. Maybe you have. Maybe you are. Maybe in the future. But I want to tell you, maybe God's opened up a dialogue with you today so that you can be an encouragement to somebody else who is struggling in this area. Or at least put up a warning sign in our life that says, hey, let's pursue integrity and faithfulness and pursue God in purity. And then we won't have to cross the bridge of the confession part. So I want to encourage you today. It may be just living a life and speaking these words into your precious family's life, into your children's life and grandchildren, or being an example to those around. I don't know how, but I know that God has a message for each one of us. So right now, I'm going to pray a brief prayer. And as we're focusing on our own life and not the person across the room who needs something like this, but our own life, I want to encourage you, if God is dealing with you in any way about this area of faithfulness or maybe some other area in your life, I want to encourage you just to turn it over to Him today and take these steps. Maybe you want to pray with someone about something else. We always allow people to come and kneel here at the front or sit on the front pews, or we have side rooms right even behind these screens where you can go privately and you can pray. Somebody can pray with you. You can pray by yourself. If you were to come forward and pray today, we're not going to stand there and say, we know what you've been doing. That's not the idea. God deals with us in different ways about even different subjects, because The Bible says his word will not return void. In other words, we sow the seed of the word into your heart today, in your life today. You may be dealing with something totally different from the subject, but his word got into your heart. You say, I need to do something. I need to take a positive step. Maybe you're struggling in a relationship. I don't know what the story is. I'm just simply saying this. You're among friends. We love you. God loves you. And if you have a need, please let us know. We want to pray with you. We want to help you. But again, you're welcome to pray by yourself. God is a help, I guarantee you. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your blessings. I thank you for all the good things you give us in life. And Lord, I know how Satan tries to pervert those things into something that you never intended. And Lord, I pray that you would help us through the struggles of this life, that we may glorify you in all that we do. If there's hurt that needs to be healed today through someone who has been unfaithful, I pray that that healing process would begin right now with you. Thank you for loving us, for giving us.